I'll just put in your name. Just come to Abuja that day, collect your $10,000 and walk away. I'm going somewhere in all of these things. You go to the market, somebody wants to cheat you. You think that God doesn't know. You know, you read the Bible sometimes, that God says there is none righteous. God says, I counted amongst 10 million people and there was not one righteous. No, not one. There's a reason I'm saying this. This is actually for pastors. If you don't want your church to close, better start winning your church members of this mentality that money is all that matters. Stop giving politicians front seats. Tell them you don't want their tithes and offerings. I know why I'm saying so. Because what God is looking for is not money. I hope you get my point. Listen, the gospel, we say that it rides on the wing of money. Go and read the whole of the book of Acts. Where did you see that? Pastor Bakayi said they didn't spend money. They did. But the money was not the central thing. Therefore, they did not discuss it. I don't know where I get my point. Yes, I mean, if it was so crucial, they would have been discussing it. To be deceiving ourselves that gospel needs money to ride is a lie. It's a lie. Let me tell you what the gospel needs. He said, guard thy sword upon thy thigh, O most mighty, and ride on prosperously and in majesty because of truth. 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 Listen, no matter the amount of money Islam spends, they can't ride in majesty. Why? There's no truth. I don't know what I get my point. You can control billions and billions and billions of US dollars, but there's no truth you are trying to propagate. Is it Hasfat or Alfat, whatever, that's a youth wing of Islam in Nigeria? Nasfat. They try to do what the gospel people are doing, and I laugh. They bought land on the express between Lagos and Ibadan, just like Redeem has, MFM has, Deeper Life has, everybody has. So they too, they went and bought. They organize camps also. They meet on Sundays. The pastors wear jeans and t-shirts. I mean, the imams. Because they think that it is the big drum. Kukuka, du-du-du-ka, Islamic church. Because they think that it is about those things. No. The gospel spreads because of the truth that is contained therein. When truth needs money, it attracts it automatically. It doesn't raise it. Let me say it to you again. When truth needs money, if fish, that is, just throw a stick like this, the fish will swallow money and bring it. That's why Jesus never raised the money. I'm not saying collecting money is bad. Are you getting my point? But it was never the central thing of preaching the gospel. When he would talk to the rich, you know what he used to tell them? Go and give to the poor. He was spending money, was he not? But when he met those who were not believers yet, who were not his disciples, he would tell them, go and give to the poor. Then you come back and follow me. What am I saying? God will destroy a nation, not because people are not going to church, but because they are not walking righteously. And the world is so corrupt. Listen, and God is not concerned about them. He's not. You know, sometimes when I'm watching American Christians gathering themselves to fight against homosexuality, to fight against abortion, to fight against the Holy Spirit, I say, bros, that is my brethren. My brethren, the fight you are fighting is unnecessary. You should have fought the first fight amongst yourselves. What are the fights I'm talking about? First fight yourselves. Eh? For pastors dropping one wife on Monday and mine another one on Saturday. Fight that one first. Fight it. Fight it. Fight it. Fight it. Fight yourselves selling, you know, half of the TV time you are spending is to raise money. Fight yourselves on those things. Fight yourselves on merchandising the gospel. Fight. Quarrel amongst yourselves on those things. Call yourselves to order. Pray against yourselves, either for mercy or for judgment on such things. then the world will fall in line. They will. What am I saying? What we need, what God needs, is for those of us who call ourselves Christians. Listen, it's good to be prosperous, amen? You've heard me preach, you know I believe in it. But everything has stages. The other day we were talking about commandments. Their commandments have different powers. Somebody came to Jesus and said, which of these is the greatest of the commandments? And Jesus said, what do you think? He said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and all thy soul and all thy might. And Jesus said, that is true. But there's another one that's exactly like it, the same level, the same caliber, the same weight. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Are you getting my point? Now you see, truths have levels. That's what Jesus was confirming. So certain commandments are not as weighty as that one. I'm bringing out something here. Is prosperity good? Yes. But its weight, the doctrine of prosperity, the weight is inferior to the doctrine of righteous living. Are you getting what I'm saying? It is called, seek never the kingdom of prosperity. Seek first the kingdom of God and what? His righteousness. Prosperity is an added advantage. It's never the center. It's not the core. Therefore, testimonies of money without its testimony of the process, don't take it. Are you hearing what I'm saying? The testimony of financial prosperity that does not include the testimony of the process through which it came, don't accept it if you're a pastor. Don't. Make sure everybody in church sits at the same level. Let nobody have special access to you because he's rich. That's what James warned about. It's crucial. It's very important. If you hear what goes on political circles and government circles in Nigeria, you'll be afraid. But listen, God is not expecting... No, think about it. An average PDP member who does not go to church, who is not a Christian, what do you expect? No, think about it. Now, what do you expect? Now, let me ask you. Do you think God is specially surprised that an unbeliever takes bribe for everything he does? No. Not. He said, the devil is a liar. He's a liar and a murderer from the beginning. When he lies, he does what is normal. Even Jesus knew that. What shocks him, and go and read that Jeremiah and Isaiah I was talking about, all right? What shocks him, in quotes, is when his people, his people, you go to church and you can't deal with somebody because he's a Christian and not be watching your back. That's when God is concerned. When news about church members, you know, the other day, we had a pastor who had two wives and the church people did not know. And INEC money was in a bank account to the tune of 1 point something billion. Are you getting my point? That's when God is concerned. See, there are two things. Number one, let's assume he's a believer. All right? How did it become that bad? Let's assume he's an unbeliever. How did you guys manage to promote an unbeliever to that level? Then you guys should watch yourself and stop talking about PDP. That's what God is saying. I hope you're hearing what I'm saying. It's good to be prosperous. It is very good, but it is very inferior to having before God a sound testimony of walking in a manner that is pleasing to him. Do you follow the point I'm making? For that reason, the good Lord is calling us back to putting the word as central of everything we are doing. Let me give you that word again, because I believe it's very prophetic. Over the next few years, every pastor, every congregation, every denomination that does not revert back, all right? You know, it's called returning to the first love. You know what he said? I will remove your candle. That's what Jesus is saying. I will remove you from that post. You will lose your position. Churches will close. Now, please, listen to me. Don't start learning the principles of church closure. A friend of mine, the other day, we were talking. I was telling him that I heard that they have removed this, your big guy, who you all used to do, raise money. He said, it is because people were not bringing money. I said, my friend, do you do? He said, no, I don't. Why? He said, I don't care. I said, that's a pastor's attitude. Don't care. You don't use the word of God to manipulate people into getting money because you claim they are not bringing money. I said, this is a principle of being a pastor. Teach the truth and pray. Any other thing beyond that, any money that doesn't come, you don't need it. Don't justify that it's because we don't have. I mean, what do you mean? How can you say it's because you don't have? You take the word of God and turn it into a manipulative tool. You start making merchandise of the gospel. Anyway, I knew long ago God wouldn't endure this for long. I believe over the next few years, you will start closing people down. I'm bringing an issue here. When God wants to close people down, you will start seeing prints, which is because they didn't have enough money. Therefore, they could not maintain the advertisement. Because, you see, advertisement never grew the church. I was just patient, long-suffering towards all men, waiting for them to repent. When I got tired, you know, when my patience ran out, what did I do? I shut them down. Are you getting the point? I shut them down. Now, you can start saying that it's because of this, it's because of that. Don't worry yourself. The truth is that the reason why they closed down is because they did not make the word of God central, and I saw no point in keeping them open. Like I said, it looks like the first 45 minutes of my talk this morning is for those who are in ministry. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. Don't ever forget. You are supposed to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Every other thing will be added. Fine car for the pastor will be added. Good church building will be added. Good television programs will be added. Every other thing will be what? Added. They are not to be sought after, primarily in themselves. I hope you got my point. I said, I hope you have gotten my point.
Yes, sir.
All right, the Lord is good. Now, let's get that into the main thing I said I want to teach today. Now, if you remember last time, I made a number of points last time. Though the main thing I brought out was that one from the book of Proverbs chapter 8, that wisdom was saying that because of this special attributes of wisdom, because you guys now understand the importance and the advantages of wisdom, therefore, this is how a man gets blessing. He said, he watches daily at my posts. He said, now therefore, O sons, listen to me, for blessed are they who keep my ways. Wisdom was speaking. He said in verse 33 of Proverbs chapter 8, heed instruction and be wise, and do not neglect it. Blessed, he said in verse 34, is the man who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at my doorposts. He said, he who does this, all right, will find me and therefore find life. And he will by that obtain favor from the Lord. And any man who's not doing these things is injuring himself and is demonstrating his hatred for me, which is actually the love of death. And I explained that our faith is not just what we claim, all right, to want. Our faith is actually manifested in the things that we are willing to spend our energy and our time concerning, all right? So if a man really is looking to the word of God as a source of his life, where everything begins from, then he will do what wisdom is saying here. He will watch daily, all right, at wisdom's gates and wait at his doorpost. And like I said, in practical terms, it means that we spend our energy and our time seeking out the word of God, not waiting for it to be served to us freely. But if it will cost money, we go there and we go and get it. I hope you get my point. And I said something, let me just repeat that statement, that the doors of the realm of the spirit, the gates of the realm of the spirit, are controlled by the precepts that we obey. Are you getting me? And the word I used to prove that is that Jesus said, if a man loves me, he will keep my word. And the Father will love him. And I and my Father will make our abode with him. That is, if you are using the precepts of traditional Africa, then the gods of traditional Africa, they are your friends and they live in your house. It's not about asking for them. And you can't cast them out. As you cast them out, they return. Once the door is open, they go in. That's just the way it works. So if you don't want the gods of traditional African villages to live in your house, and let me tell you, by the way, hear me. The traditional African gods are useless gods. They don't ever help anybody progress. I'm very happy I'm a black man. If a white man preaches this one to you, you'll be angry. So, me and you, in fact, I'm darker than 99% of the people here. You know that. So, let me tell you again. African gods are useless gods. They did not help the people progress. Are you getting my point? The more you walk towards them, the more you walk into backwardness. That is a matter of fact. Their principles are not the principles of God. I was thinking about it the other day. Somebody told me that where they come from, a woman can't be sitting down when a man is standing. I said, obviously, that is not God. Because God said, if your wife is standing and you are sitting, if you get up and let her sit down, that her legs are not as strong as yours. Is that what the Bible says? You know, there are things that just, you know, don't follow the precepts. Anyway, I'm not going over that again. You learn the things that are of the word of God. That way, the Father comes and makes his abode in your house. And what is the importance of God living in your house? It's very simple to understand. When Jesus saw, when the disciples were on the seas, and their boat was unsteady because the storm was tossing them up and down. When Jesus entered into the boat, what happened? The storm ceased. The storm did what? Ceased. So what we want is for God to live in our homes. So what we do is that we look for those precepts. Before we go into politics, we look for his precepts. And I said to you that the degree to which every king in Israel failed in his political career is directly tied to the amount of disobedience to the instruction that God gave to kings in Israel. That's just the way it works. So if you are going to be a businessman, God will give you, you will know general precepts and principles, and then there will be special testimonies, commandments that are for you alone. The degree to which you will fail as a businessman is the degree to which you don't adhere to those words. And the degree to which you will succeed is the degree to which you adhere to them and listen to this, and that's what I'm going today. And not just to adhere to the ones you know, but with which you seek for even those which you do not know. Because truth has levels. That's what I'm going today. He said, the waters made it grow. But what? The deep made it high. Listen to that. There's general truth. It's very important. But every believer, you must never, ever think that I know that one already. You must never think like that. There is nobody that knows everything about anything in life. And listen, there's always something more to experience in God. And let me say it to us again. Those things don't come by wishing for them. When God wants to give it to you, he sends you a word. And like we have seen, you have to search for it. You have to put yourself in a place where you know you are waiting for the word that he gave or is given. Are you getting my point? That's why I said the waters made them grow. The deep, that's what I want to talk about today as I close. There are deep things in God. Are you getting my point? And you see, there's something about truth. I learned this long ago. In fact, the way the Lord showed it to me, there was a time in which I was just swimming in all kinds of understandings and revelations. This is when I was 7. One day I sat down. In fact, I wrote a teaching that day. I looked outside and I saw a cock. A cock landed on a rope, you know, this line for hanging clothes. Uh-huh. So the Yorubas have a saying. They said that the cock or the hen has landed on the rope. That neither the rope nor the hen is at rest. That none of them is at peace. And that day I saw it again. And the thing landed like this. And the cock would not agree to go away. So they say at the end, already. That is both of them. Nobody was at peace. So I wrote that thing for a while. I went back into my house, brought out my piece of paper, and began to write a teaching on what do you stand. I still have it till today. The rope, was it strong? Yes, it could carry. I mean, those small birds, you know, those tiny, tiny birds that sing near your window. They will land on that thing and no wahala. Yes, no trouble. They had peace. The problem is that this cock was too big. And that's just how spiritual things are. What I'm telling you is a matter of fact. Truths have levels. And the more you grow in God, to be steady in your spiritual walk, the deeper the amount of truth you need to keep yourself balanced. Listen, you have to work hard as Christians. Listen, Christianity is hard work when it comes to interacting with the Word of God. You know, I thank God for the understanding he has given me. Before I used to wonder that, why are there people hanging on this kind of thing? I realized that they are young. There are things some Christians will quote. Hey, this is what God has said. I said, you think he said that? And they say, it's working for them. Amen. You will soon grow. It will soon stop working. Not because it's not true, but let me give you an example. This is just to give a simple example. You can tell every Christian, anywhere the soles of your feet tread, you shall possess. And he goes and says, I'm going to tread anywhere. It's good, first level. So he wants to claim every land for Christ. After a while, you will call him back and say, the same God that said anywhere your feet treads, you possess, warn them where not to tread. If you get the land of the descendants of Esau, he said, don't touch that land. I won't give you as much as 1 square foot. The way you are standing, I won't give that one to you. If you drink their water, pay. Don't make them angry. Because if they get angry, I'm not going to defend you. One of the things you first start learning, when you start growing as Christians, the law of boundaries. Just by the way, again, I'm just digressing. If you're a preacher, please. I believe the instructions, that one of the greatest set of instructions God gave for this generation of preachers was given through Kenneth Hagin. Go and read his books. If you're not a preacher, what I'm saying, don't worry too much about it. But if you are, please, go and read. He will warn you on how not to intrude into offices. If you are not a preacher, if you are not a pastor, don't try to be one. If you are a prophet, try and be a prophet. If he didn't call you a prophet and a teacher, don't prophesy and teach. Prophesy and get out. There are things that on the surface, they look like they are simple, sensible. Everybody should try and do it now. We need manpower. Look, there's a level you get to. They promote you to pastor in church. You go and tell the promoting pastor that you want to kill somebody. Yeah. Oh, God, please, I don't have time. I'm not going to do that today. I don't even have the time. We're not doing a ministerial meeting here. There are things that if they promote you into, you tell the person promoting you, say, "Oga, is it that you are tired of me? You are looking for a trick to use to kill me?" Like they wanted to promote the PCA into the Supreme Court. You know, if you've been following the political in Nigeria. You say, is that what you're trying to do? An average Christian wouldn't think like that. But when you have grown to a particular level, you need certain depths of truth to keep yourself safe. And what I want to teach to you again today as I'm closing is that nobody is going to force that truth on you. You have to go and look for it for your own life's sake. The other day, brother told me, I heard that brother was going to pastor a church. He was sitting beside me. I said, what? He said, okay, I got banking. That's why I see him. I looked the guy. You are going to pastor a church. We thank God. I said, come, we need to talk. For what did I do? I quickly went and bought, I gave him a book with my book. Go and read it. When I read it, I said, you can have it. He said, no, I'm going to buy my own copy. He went and bought his own copy. He bought another one. I said, because you must know that truth, because it's important. You see, it's important that nobody fools you into thinking that the title pastor is a sign of spiritual promotion. It's not. Is a title for an office you occupy. And if you are not called to occupy that office, you are not inferior to those who are occupying it. Each man will receive his reward when he gets to the judgment seat of Christ according to his labor, not according to the office. You will be surprised. I know if I say this, it will sound disrespectful, but I need to say it to bring your head to order. You'll be surprised the day of judgment. You and the GO, Bishop David Oyedepo, you'll queue on the same line. It will be, excuse me, age mate, all of you. You'll be surprised. It will happen one day. There's no good morning side there. No. Good morning side is only on the earth. Now, we're all servants of Christ before the judgment seat. And you'll be thinking that, what did I do compared to a man who built a university? God will say, okay, come here. That primary school I told you to build, how was it? Say, sir. The primary school I told you to build, how was it? Primary school. You know this, my brothers. They were my other brothers on the earth. They were building universities, so I thought that must be the way to please the Lord. So I bought land for university. He said, Gilbert, slap up. The point I'm making is that you think somebody is judging who built university or who did not build university. You will be shocked. They will judge you according to the gift you were given to build the primary school. I hope you are getting what I'm saying. Listen, one of the problems in life, people are following other people's assignments in life. And they are building expectations for themselves based on other people's lives. This man has achieved this. You too, you must achieve exactly what the other person achieved, even though you are not sure in any way that God called you into that life. Again, I'm not teaching on that in details. I'm just giving an example. At a particular level in life, oh, you want to be everything for Christ. And God says, fine. Zeal is good. Then you start growing. To help you balance in life, you must understand deeper truths. You can't stay on one level and be quoting the same thing after 10 years. There are those who never can quote other thing than what their pastor said. The first 1 year after you give your life to Christ is ideal and perfect. The second year, it should decrease in frequency. At the third year, we should hardly hear it from your mouth more than any other thing, just that you are quoting a statement. You get my point? A matter of truth, not a matter of direction for your life. You hear me quote people all the time. But at least I'm quoting the word of God that they have spoken. Not that if, okay, what I'm operating by now is that this is what they said. This is what our papa said for this whole year. At this age, if I do some things, then God will slap me badly. Yeah, I'm serious. I know what I'm saying. Truth has what? Levels. And let me tell you something. I said it last time. Your life in this season as a believer is a reflection of the amount. Let me say this to you before I make that statement. I did a study of the book of Luke some time ago, many years ago. And I discovered something. The life of Jesus Christ was in stages. Can I hear Kenneth explain something when he was talking about anointings? He said you can't, either Kenneth Hagin or John G. Lake, I'm quoting now, or both of them put together, but this is a truth I learned from reading the two of them. They explained something, I saw it in both, especially Kenneth Hagin, that the life of Jesus, the miracles that were manifested in his life, all right, they were in stages also. That you see a time when they will tell you that the multitudes came to him and many of them were healed. And there was a time you will read that all of them were healed. Oh, and there's a difference. When I was studying the book of Luke, I noticed something. That the life of Jesus also was in stages, like I said to you earlier. And this is what I noticed. Each stage was preceded by a revelation. Let me say that to you again. Before he moves to a new level, and that's the way the life of every believer is preceded by a new revelation and a new understanding. The day the Gentiles came and met Philip and Andrew, want to see your master, Jesus did not answer the Gentiles. He moved to another level. The moment Gentiles began to seek him, he knew that crucifixion has come. Are you getting what I'm saying? Listen, before he even entered to the cross, even though he knew that he was supposed to go to the cross, I told you, as believers, we have not been called to struggle, that is outwardly. You know where you struggle? At home. What do I mean by struggle at home? You struggle in prayer, you struggle with the scriptures. When Jesus knew that it was time to go to the cross, it's not fight. If you can't go to the cross, please don't go. Let me say it again. If you can't go to the cross, don't what? Don't go. He said, this is Pastor Banky. He's a lazy man. Yeah, I like that. I like it like that. I'm very safe with you. Where I am. What do I mean? When Jesus was supposed to go to the cross and he could not go, where did he go? He went to the garden. And he stayed in the garden until he was able to go to the cross. We've discussed that one here before in the school of prayer. He didn't just get up and say, hey, let us go to the cross. You know, when Peter was saying, we will go to the cross, all of us, Jesus looked at him and said, it's not your fault. You don't do anything. He said, it's not your fault. You don't do anything. You go to the cross, he said, yes. You go to the cross, yes. Okay. Let's see. Cross or you deny me 3 times. He said, before the call cross 3 times, you go not swear, say you don't know me. If it doesn't mean me, move better. How much? If you know, Peter forgot. That's how it is with zealous men. But the Lord Jesus, because of understanding, he didn't do that. When it was time to go to the cross, he went to the garden. He knew he needed strength. He needed strength not to run away when he would see the cross. He needed the strength. He knew he needed it. So he went into the garden and stayed there until the cross was no longer an issue.